Good morning. Today's Daf and Chagiga is Daf Tes. We are starting with the Mishnah on Tesamon Aleph. We have been discussing since the beginning of the Masechta the requirements of bringing Karbonos to the Beis HaMikdash on Yontav. Every one of the three Yamim Tovim, we have a requirement to go to Yerushalayim, be seen in the Azara, and bring Karbonos, the Karbonos that we need to bring. I know I'm going quickly, but this is, you know, what we've been discussing since day one. So we're a week and a half into this discussion, so I'm repeating myself, but that's good. It's Chazar, it's review. So the Karbonos that are brought is the Olas Riyo, the Shalmei Chagiga and Shalmei Simcha. Olas Riyah and Shalmei Chagiga are chovas, are obligations, as we've been discussing also since the beginning of the Masechta, which means to say that those are karbanos that have to be b'menachulin. We spent a good amount of time, not in yesterday's daf. I'm going to correct myself. In yesterday's daf, that's great memory on my part. So we spent a lot of time in yesterday's daf talking about by the Shalmei Chagiga. So there is a maneuver that can be done, which is called tfela, which is basically mixing together your Maaser Sheni and Chulin money in order to purchase a larger animal. But, okay, that's complicated, but to say it simpler, so they are Ba Menachova, they are obligations, and therefore they have to come from Chulin animals. When it comes to Shalmei Simcha, on the other hand, as we discussed in yesterday's Daf, Shalmei Simcha can come from Neder, Nedava, it can come from Maaser Behema, Shalmei Simcha can come from a range of animals that are already designated as Karbanos, but the mitzvah of simcha on Yantiv is just simply to be in a state of simcha, which means the state of simcha is achieved through eating the meat of a karban. That karban per se doesn't have to be dedicated as a shlamim, as shami simcha. It just simply means that it's a karban and you're eating the meat of the karban. So a filling your belly with meat of a karban, you take all those variables, you put them together, and it's Yantiv, and you're going to be achieving a state of simcha. So those are the three obligations that one needs to bring. So Shalmei Simcha now we can put on the side, because Shalmei Simcha is not a chova per se on the karban. Shalmei Simcha is a chova just simply in terms of having a state of being for you. So we're going to go back and we're going to be discussing now the I'm sorry. We need a little, thank God we need more room and more chairs.
Yeah, we'll get a classroom.
Okay. Good. Good problem. So but it's a problem. Okay, so we're going to be focusing today in today's mission, today's sugya, on the Olas Riyah and the Shalmei Chagiga. Now, how many times do you have to bring the karban? So the answer is once, and principally, primarily, you're going to be bringing it on day number one. Okay, we already discussed the Mishnah and Beitza. We referenced it earlier in our Masechta Machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai has an unusual position, which is that you can't bring the Olas Riyah on day one in Yantav, meaning the first and optimal time to bring the karban is day one on Yantav, but Beit Shammai says, but you can't bring it on Yantav because lachem v'lo lagavola. Okay, that shita's Beit Shammai, we don't pass on like Beit Shammai, we pass on like Beit Hillel, which means that the optimal time, the ikar hamitzvah to bring these karbanos are going to be day one. Now, as we already pointed out, you get in line, there are a couple of 100,000 other Jews who, at right minimum, who are also required to bring this karban, so you're going to get in line, and chances are you may not make it on day number one, but regardless. In terms of the Ikar HaMitzvah, it is a chova to bring these karbanos, the Olas Riyah and the Shalmei Chagiga, on day one of Yontav. And that's it. Meaning, once you bring it once, you don't have to bring it again. We had a discussion, okay, now I could say, 2 days ago. Oh. Okay, so we had a discussion 2 days ago back on Dav Zion, meaning, can you go back in again? Meaning, once you go into the Azar one time and you bring your karbanos on the first time, so are you allowed to go back in again? That was a machlokes between Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish. That per se wasn't a machlokus. What really was under debate and deliberation was you can go back in again. You have to also bring an Olas Riyah when you go back in again. So hopefully you recall that back on Daf Zayinim and Aleph. So we deliberated that very point. However, for our Daf today, the most critical piece of information that we have to keep in mind is that you only need to bring these karbanos on one occasion. Now again, the optimal time to bring it is on day one of Yontif. What if you don't bring it on day one in Yontif? So at this point in time, you probably already heard us discussing at one point from the beginning of the Masechta, that there's something called Tashlumin. In fact, when I say at one point in the Masechta, really on Daf Beis, meaning we already brought up the topic of Tashlumin on the first day of this Masechta. Tashlumin is the idea that you have makeups. Okay, you miss a test, you have makeup. Sorry, I'm still in the school system. So you miss a test, so there's a makeup. So you miss a carbon, so there's makeups. So how many makeup days are there? So hopefully, at this point in time, we already know the answer, but we're going to go over it again in today's Daf. Let's begin. So, if you weren't chogeg is the verb of bringing the karban chagiga. So, if you weren't chogeg on Yom Tov Rishon, now here we're talking about Sukkot, but just as well we could be talking about Pesach, Shavuos is really an interesting animal. We'll come back to Shavuos in just a moment. But if you were in Chogeg on the first day of Sukkah, Shochag, Chogeg is Kol HaRegel, V'yom Tov Acher, and Shochag. So what you could do is you could be Chogeg on any other day of Sukkot. And again, I say Sukkot, you can also replace that with Pesach as well, including and even the last day of Yontov. Now, let's say the entirety of Yontov goes by and you just simply didn't bring it. You didn't bring it on day one, nor in any of the makeup days. So on that, so you now missed your opportunity. Al Zen Namar, we have a pasuk in Koheles describing such a scenario. Me'uvas lo yuchal litkon v'chisaron lo yuchal lehimanos. So something that's bent and cannot be fixed, and chisaron, something that's missing and cannot be replaced. Now, the word lehimanos is a little bit strange. Hold that thought. The Gemara in today's daf is going to be focusing on that last word in the pasuk in Koheles. But meanwhile, however, the point is that sometimes you make mistakes and you can correct them, and sometimes you make mistakes and you can't correct them. So over here, because there's a window of opportunity to bring your Karman Chagiga, and you miss the window, so at that point in time, it's over. You want to make it up? You can't. And that's how life works, and that's how halacha works. Sometimes you just simply can't make it up. Rabbi Shimon Manasseh Omer Ezu Muva Sheino Yechol Etkon Zeh Abal Erva V'holi Mimeno Mamzer. So Rabbi Shimon Manasseh says, look, as far as the point is concerned, I'm totally good with the point. However, in terms of the pasuk is talking about something else. I'll tell you about what the pasuk is making reference to. It's making reference to someone who has an adulterous relationship with a woman, produces a child. The child is a mamzer. Now, what do you want to do? You want to do tshuva? At this point in time, what good is tshuva going to help? The mamzer has been produced, and that's it. So, im tomer begonu vigozo yachohu lach zero v'yitakein. You steal, so you know you can return it. In other words, there's always a way to mend and patch that situation. But if you're making a mamzer, if you produced a mamzer, so that's it. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Omer in Korn Muvas El Lamisha Yamutukan Betchila Vinit Aves. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says once again, I agree with what you're saying, but as far as pshat and the pasuk is concerned, so Muvas means it is bent. Meaning, what does that mean? It's bent. It means at one point in time it was straight and then it was bent. You see, in the production of a mamzer, so from the very beginning it's Muvat. In other words, so it's not the best pshat in the pasuk. What is the best pshat in the pasuk? The following. So Ezu Tamachacham Aparsh Min HaTorah. So you have a Tamachacham, and then he leaves the fold. He walks off the reservation. And so for that really fits in better with the pasuk of Mu'uvas Asher Lo Yuchal Litkon. And that's something which was one time straight, and then it got bent. I'm speaking over here. It's a little bit difficult because the person always has a chance to come back. Meaning, right, with the moms there, there's no way to undo it. And in our case of the Chagiga, in other words, once the days go by, there's no way to make it up. But with the Talmud Chacham, if he leaves, can't he come back? Meaning, I understand what he gained by saying such a pshat, but at the same time, it also is an imperfect pshat, or at least that's what it seems to me. And so I'm throwing out there as a question, and let's move on. So, Menahan Emili. Okay, so the question of the Gemara is as follows. From where do I know? From where do I know? Meaning to say, as Rashi points out over here, the Gemara's question is specifically on Sukkot. Meaning on Pesach, so what do we have? We have 7 days of Tashlumim. On Shavuos, we also have 7 days of Tashlumim, even though Shavuos is a one-day Yontif. And then what about Sukkot? So Sukkot, we get a bonus. We get an eighth day. So there's one extra day. How do I know about that eighth day on Sukkot? That's the Gemara's question. So Menahan Emili, I'm Rabbi Yochanan Mishum, Rabbi Shmuel, Nemar, I got you. Nemar atzeres b'shvi'i shel Pesach, v'nemar atzeres b'shmini shel Chag. So you'll note that the seventh day of Pesach is called atzeres. You'll note that the eighth day of Sukkot is called atzeres. Ma lahan l'tashlumim, mafkan l'tashlumim. So just like on Pesach, tashlumim extends all 7 days, so too on Sukkot it's going to extend, and you're going to get a bonus. You're going to get an eighth day. And this is what's called a gzeres shava mufne. The Gemara says, and it's a strong gzeres shava. It's called the gzeres shava mufne. The Gemara in Nida goes over the various degrees, levels of gzeres shava's mufne. Mufne mitzad echad, mufne mishnei tzadim. If you don't know what I'm saying right now, so just wait approximately 5 years. God willing, when we get to go with the Gemara Nida, and we'll go over this in more detail. For our purposes right now, I will give an abbreviated explanation, and that is that the Gzeres Shavah is a hyperlink between two words in the Torah. I happen to love that analogy. It's like whatever. But it is. In other words, you click on one and it takes you right to the other. So the Gzeirah Shavah is a stronger Gzeirah Shavah when the words are clearly extraneous. Meaning, if the words are necessary for the pshat and the pasuk, so then we may have a Masorah that it's a Gzeirah Shavah, but if at the same time, however, you have any kind of challenge that you can challenge the Gzeirah Shavah with, it just simply does not, it doesn't work from a Svarah standpoint, so then you can go ahead and challenge, have at it. However, once the Gzeirah Shavah is Mufneh, where the words themselves are extraneous, so that fortifies the Gzeirah Shavah, and even if you have a challenge, you nevertheless cannot challenge it. It's an impenetrable Gzeirah Shavah. So the Gemara says, so good, so over here it's Mufneh. The Ilav Mufneh Yikla Mifrach, Malashvi Shal Pesach, because if we didn't have such a strong Gzeirah Shavah, you can ask a really simple question. You know what the seventh day of Pesach is? It's the seventh day of Pesach. Okay. Yeah. Right? Same as the first days. Notable difference is that you can't do malacha on day number seven, but it's the same as above. Right? See above. However, when it comes to the eighth day of Sukkot, we all know it has a unique identity. It is the eighth day of Sukkot, but at the same time, it's got a unique identity. We already went through a number of times in Shas. We're not going to do it right now, but on six elements, the eighth day of Sukkot is really unique and segregated from the first 7 days of Sukkot. So the Gemara says, so had it not been a Gzeirah Shavah Mufna, so then we could have just simply asked that question. So La'ayaf Noyim Mufna, so the Gemara says, you're right. Michti, Maya Teres Atzor Basias Malacha Haksiv Lo Sase Malacha Atzeres Tekas Rechman Alamali Elishma Min Alaf Noyei. And look, the pasuk says lo sa'aseh malacha. So that means I'm not allowed to do malacha on day eight. And then you know what it says? It says atzeres. Now the atzeres means that you're not allowed to do malacha, but that's superfluous. Exactly the point. Once we have now already learned, the Torah already told us lo sa'aseh malacha, the word atzeres becomes superfluous. Now that's superfluous, it makes Gzeirah Shavah, because Gzeirah Shavah is coming through the word atzeres, makes Gzeirah Shavah even that much better, that much stronger. Okay. So what do we now know? We have learned together that you have Yemei Tashlumim. For Pesach, it's 7 days, meaning including the first day. It's all 7 days of Pesach. And for Sukkot, it's 8 days. They're not the same. Gzeirah Shavah tells us that in this regard, they're going to be the same. Now, as far as Shavuos is concerned, the Gemara here does not discuss, but Shavuos also is going to be 7 days of Tashlumim, meaning the first day of Shavuos, and then the next 6 days after that. V'tana Maisel Mehacha. Okay, we're going to do this now round two, meaning we're going to arrive at the same conclusion, but the Bryce over here is going to come at it from a slightly different flight plan, if you will. D'tanya, the pasuk says, V'chag osem aso chag l'Hashem shivas yamim, yachlo yechogig v'holech kol shiva. So first the Bryce tells us that I have the following havamina. Maybe the requirement of chagiga is every day of yontif. Day one, day two, all the way through day seven. So tamalamar oso atachogig v'yatachogig kol shiva. So now oso comes to tell me that, no, there's only one day in which you need to be chogig. So imke lama namar shiva litashlamim. So the fact that it says shiva means that you have the remaining days of yantav. Let's call it Pesach right now to go ahead and to bring the carbon chagiga in the event that you didn't bring it on day number one. Uminan shim lo chag yom tov rishon shachag shachogeg v'aleches kol haregel v'yom tov acharon. Now how do I know that I have the balance of chol hamoed even the last day of yantav? Tamalamar v'chodesh hashvi'i tachogu oso. Now, this is a description of Sukkot, which means that you have not only all days of Chol HaMoed, but you even have what we call Shmini Atzeres. How do I know that? Because the Pasuk says, B'chodesh HaShvi'i, in the seventh month. Sukkot comes out in the seventh month. But when the Torah describes it, it's really pinpointing it, it's marking it by the month that it is in. So, B'chodesh HaShvi'i, Yachol Yechol Givolech HaChodesh Kulo. Okay, so if it's marking it by the month, so how about this? How about offering it now any day within the seventh month, what we call Tishrei? So maybe bring the Karmel Chagiga any day of the month. That's a very strange Havamina. Meaning I'm going to be bringing the Karmel Chagiga for Sukkot, I don't know, let's say a week before Sukkot or a week after Sukkot. I mean, there's not much time between post-Sukkot and the end of Tishrei, but still, it's a funny Havamina. So Tamalamar Oso Atachogi V'Atachogi Chutzalo. No, the Oso comes to tell me that the ability to bring the Karmel Chagiga is only going to be within the prescribed boundaries of Yantav. Anything after Yantav, you can't bring the carbon chagiga. Okay. So what we have over here is two different sources in terms of how I know that the tashlumim can come for Pesach on all 7 days, for Sukkot on all 8 days. And again, we didn't even discuss Shavuos as well. Okay, my tashlumim. I hope that this next discussion over here is going to sound familiar. We saw this verbatim on Daf Beis. So it was just a week later, And we're going to go over now a very lumdish question, which is as follows. In the event that you fail to bring the Karma Chagiga on day number one, and now you have a makeup opportunity on day number two and day number three. So from a conceptual standpoint, how does that work? That's the Gemara's question. So here we have a debate amongst the Amoraim. Rav Yochanan says it all is a makeup for day number one. Meaning if you didn't make it up on day number one, if you didn't bring it on day number one, so on day number two, you're making up for day number one. On day number three, you're making up for day number one. It all goes back to making up day number one that you missed. So according to Rav Oshia, Tashlumim Zelazeh. Now Rav Oshia says, no, if you didn't bring it on day number one, what happens now is that your obligation moves over a day to day number two. So yeah, you call it a Tashlumim, but what it really now becomes is your obligation. Day number two now is your obligation. The obligation moves ahead a day. And if you don't bring it on day number two, it says the same thing. That it just simply gets pushed off to day number three.
So Rabbi Yochanan, is that an obligation according to Rabbi Yochanan? What's going to come in between these two opinions?
The Gemara's next question. So my Beinahu, so the Gemara now wants to know, so what's the difference between the two positions? I'm Rabbi Zera, Chigir B'yam Rishon, Mizpasha B'yam Sheni. So let's say he's lame on day number one, and he has a miraculous and speedy recovery. So then on day number two, now he's healed. So on day number one, he's putter. We spent a good amount of time earlier in the Masechta talking about somebody who has the inability to walk, who is exempt from the mitzvah. Although, to be fair, really, the exemption came on the mitzvah of Olas Re'iyah. We're here talking about Shamech Hagiga. Sounds like from our Gemara over here that the two go hand in hand. Regardless, let's just deal with the basic point of the Gemara. What if you're legitimately exempt on day number one? So if you're exempt on day number one, and now we get to day number two and day number three, so now what? So now, Ika by now, that's going to be a difference. Rav Yochanan, Matoshom L'Rishon, came into Lochazi B'Rishon, Lochazi B'Sheni. So Rav Yochanan will tell you, look, if you're exempt on day number one, regardless of the fact now that you are in a position where you could bring from day two and onward, so, but nevertheless, once the exemption is day number one, and once everything is just a makeup, there's only one obligation day number one, and every day of makeup is all going back to day number one, and day number one, you were legitimately exempt, so therefore there's no opportunity to make it up. And Rabbi Yoshia, Amar Tashlum Zelazer, Avagav Delo Chazib Rishon Chazib Sheni. And according to Rabbi Yoshia, so he says, no, what happens is that it always gets pushed ahead a day. So that means to say now that your obligation moves from day one to day number two. You're obligated to day number two, you're going to be obligated. So that would be a nafka mina between Reish Lakish and that's a nafka mina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yoshia. Okay, good. All right. It's at this point in time, the next, let's call it 10 lines of the Gemara, are going to be challenging, okay? And obviously, I'm going to try my best to be as clear as possible. So where do we stand right now? We're going to zoom in on Rav Yochanan, right? We're going to leave Rav Oshia, put him to the side, and zoom in on Rav Yochanan. What comes out now, according to Rav Yochanan, is that if on day one you were potter for whatever reason, so that means to say now that you're going to be potter for the balance of Yontif. Okay. Right? We have that. In other words, and just focus now on Rav Yochanan. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan. Did I just make up words? I think so. No, I didn't. Okay, good. I'm good. Okay. Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Now, does Rav Yochanan say this? Va'amar Chizkiah. Now, don't we have the following debate and deliberation? Okay, to understand the following debate and deliberation, so let's just go over a little bit of background. So you decide you're going to become a Nazir. You would like to see your hair grow long, okay? Especially when you get to a certain age, it's exciting, and you like to see your hair grow long. You're not interested in wine anymore, and you don't want to go to cemeteries. Okay, for whatever reason, you want to become a Nazir. When I say for whatever reason, it's elevation and Kedusha. It's right. It's good. So and you're going to be a Nazir for however many days, right? Stam Nazir is 30 days. Whatever the term of your Naziris is, and what you have to do now is count. And then you get to the end of the term of your Naziris, and then what do you do at the end of your Naziris? You bring Karbanos. I oversimplified. But obviously, we want to get to another point. And that is that, let's say, sometime in your term of Naziris, you become Tame. Now, what happens under those circumstances? So now, whatever days you counted up until that point, and when I say Tame, I mean Tomas Mace. So whatever days you counted up until that point in time now fall away. And now what you got to do is you got to restart your count. However, before restarting your count, you got some Karbanos you got to bring. Three sets of karbanos that you have to bring for having become tameh during your naziris. Well, before you bring your karbanos, you have to go through 7 days of tahara, like anyone who's tameh meis. So you go through 7 days of tahara, and then on day number seven, you'll sprinkle, you'll tovel in the mikvah, you'll have harav shemesh. Now you're good, and now day eight, you're going to go ahead and you're going to bring karbanos. Okay, And again, a series of three kabbanas. Okay, now, let's say you become tamei, and you're going through your 7-day tahara process, and then sometime during the tahara process, you become tamei again. All right? You have to bring another set of kabbanos? Now, the answer is going to be no. In other words, because that's just a continuation of your tumah. Meaning, even though you're in the tahara process, but if you become tummy during the tahara process, that's just now an extension of your tumah. That one's easy. I started off easy. Now let's make it a little bit more complicated. Now let's say that you do go through your 7 days of tahara successfully, including Harav Shemesh, and now you're on the eve of the 8th day. Well, that's already the most complicated. Let's go to the next day. Let's go to the 8th day. You become tummy on the 8th day, but you didn't bring your karbanis yet. Okay, you become tamei on your 8th day. Now, once again, you're going to have to go through the tahara process of 7 days. At the end of the tahara process of those 7 days, how many sets of karbanos do you have to bring? The answer is going to be two. Two sets of karbanos. Because since on day 8, you were eligible to bring your karbanos for your first tumah, so now you're on the books. That's on the books now, that you have to bring them. And now you become tamei again, so you got to bring now a second set of karbanos. Okay? That one's pretty straightforward. Now let's make it difficult. Let's say you become tamei on the eve of the 8th day. On one hand, you finished your tahara. On the other hand, were you eligible to bring karbanos? The answer, of course, is no. Because you can't bring karbanos until the morning of the next day. So if you become tamei on the eve of the 8th day, so now, after having gone through the whole process of the tahara for a second time, how many karbanos, sets of karbanos do you need to bring? One or two? What do you think the answer is going to be? There we go. Okay, so the Gemara now brings down Vahamar Chizkia Nitma Biyam Mevi Balailaino Mevi. So Chizkia is of the position that if you become tamei during the day, you'll have to bring a second set of karbanos. If you become tamei on the night prior, so you don't have to bring a second set of karbanos. Now, what I get, just to make the Gemara here go a little bit easier, focus on Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan Amar Af Balailanami Mevi. Now, Rav Yochanan says, if you become tamei night of, so you are going to be bringing, by the end of your tahara, two sets of karbanos. Okay, now, what does that mean? It means that according to Rav Yochanan, the night prior to the 8th day, you had no eligibility to bring karbanos. In other words, you couldn't bring karbanos, because again, you just simply can't bring karbanos at night. And meanwhile, Rav Yochanan is of the position that even though you're in a position where you can't bring karbanos, you're still obligated to bring the karbanos. Now, I know it's not the same as our discussion over here, but again, just say it out loud. In fact, I'll even read the end of the Rashi. Alpha gav delo roi lekarban yesh la tashlumim. Even though you're not fit to bring a karban, you're still going to have to. Now, Rashi uses the word tashlumim. Right. By nazirus, it's not exactly tashlumim. I understand the analogy is not perfect, but the Gemara nevertheless is making it. Even though you're not obligated to bring even though you can't bring karbanos, still at a later point in time, you will be obligated to bring karbanos. So, take that over to Rav Yochanan over here. So, it sounds now that we're a little bit stuck. Because Rav Yochanan says that once you're putter from bringing karbanos on day one, you will be excused from bringing karbanos for the balance of Yantav. That's not that wasn't the case in, as far as his position and Naziris is concerned, to which the Gemara says, I'm Rav Yirmiyahu Shani Tumah D'yesh La Tashlumim BePesach. What we're doing is we're comparing the Tashlumim of Karban Chagiga to that of Tumah. Leave Tumah out of the discussion. I know Tumah is different. How do I know that Tumah is different? Consider the following. The Yesh L'Tashlumim BePesach Sheni. Because consider the following. You're bringing your Pesach Sheni. Do you know why you're bringing your Pesach Sheni? I'll tell you why. Because you were Tumah on the first, on Pesach Rishon. So, and of course, your Tumah prevented you. We're not talking about where the Tzibur's Tumah. If the Tzibur's Tumah, so then they're all going to bring on Pesach Rishon. We're talking about where your Tumah on Pesach Rishon. So at that point in time, since you're tamei on Pesach Rishon, you will now be excused, but not exempt. Meaning, once Pesach Sheni rolls around, you're going to have to bring. So you see that when it comes to Tumah, even though you're excused from day number one, you're still going to have to bring, and when I say day number one, I mean really Pesach Rishon, you're still going to have to bring on Pesach Sheni. So Tumah has its own rules, so to say, in terms of makeups. And don't compare the makeup rules of Tumah to that what we're discussing right now, which is the Karban Chagiga. So Maskel Rav Papa Hanichal Amandamar Pesach Sheni Tashlumim Derishon. Yeah, but how do we view Pesach Sheni? Is Pesach Sheni a makeup for Pesach Rishon? That is a machlokus that we saw back in Pesachim. And so if you subscribe to Pesach Sheni being a makeup for Pesach Rishon, so then this answer works perfectly. But Elamand Amar Sheni Regel Bifnei Asma, who Michael Amemar. But there is a position over there in the Gemara Pesachim that Pesach Sheni is its own independent Yantav. And if that's in fact the case, so do you know why you're bringing on Pesach Sheni? Not because you're making up for Pesach Rishon, but Pesach Sheni is Yantav Bifnei Atzmo. It's its own independent Yantav. So if that's the correct way to conceptually look at Pesach Sheni, so then your argument of Tumah being different, nah, Tumah's not different. Pesach Sheni is different. Okay, so.
But the Torah says it is a makeup.
I know. This second presentation that the Gemara gives that it's a Yantav Bifnei Atzmo does not really fit the narrative of, hey, we missed the first one, we'd like to make it up. Lama Niga Ra. You're right. It's a, right, the history of Pesach Sheni certainly sounds like it's a makeup. But once the Torah instructs that this is what you're doing, so it may take on an according to some Tanaim, it takes on a different identity. Okay, point, very good. So, Michael Amemar, Ella Amara, Papa Kasavra of Yochanan, Laila Eina Mechusar Zman. Okay, so we're going to attack the problem from a different angle. Okay, so again, let me just reset the problem. Here's the problem. When it comes to Chagiga, Rav Yochanan could not be clear. You missed day number one, you're going to be exempt from all other days. Why? Because all other days are just to make up for day number one. And once you're exempt on day number one, so that's it. That exemption just simply continues for the rest of Yontav, even though the reason behind the exemption is gone. Okay, good. Try that with your teacher, by the way. In other words, I was sick on the day of the test. Oh, you know what? I don't have to make it up. Okay. But according to Rav Yochanan, the way Chagiga works is that the Chova's on day number one, and everything else over there is just to make it back to day number one. Okay, good. That's the, that's Rav Yochanan. The problem is that we see that when it comes to the Tumas Nazir, Rav Yochanan seems to just totally ignore that whole principle. Because what happens, according to Rav Yochanan, is that if you become tummy again on the night of, which is the time that you can't bring the carbon, nevertheless, that's going to count towards you to have to bring another set of carbonos. Okay? Even though you were not eligible to bring carbonos the night of. So that's a problem. So that's the problem. So now that we set up the problem, solution. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'll give you now a new solution. Our first attempt at solution is that tumah is different. Okay, but the Gemara says, but it really kind of depends on how you look at Pesach Sheni. Okay, so we are now up to our second possible suggestion of the Gemara Amar Papa Kasavra of Yochanan Laila Eina Mechusar Zman. So over here, in terms of another solution to the problem, so we're going to say that according to Rav Yochanan, nighttime is not considered Mechusar Zman. It's an idea that we entertain numerous times throughout Shas. So over here, another opportunity to discuss this idea. That means to say night before, even though you can't bring carbon, we're still going to call it a time of eligibility. And I know that's a balancing act. That's a real balancing act, right? Am I allowed to bring carbonos on night off? Of course not. In other words, carbonos can only be brought during the day. But am I considered eligible to bring carbonos on night off? Yes. Even though you actually can't. Okay, so I understand it's a balancing act, but that is the sheet of Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that Laila Eina Mechusar Zman. Now, once we take that position, that is in fact Rav Yochanan's position, that Laila is not considered Mechusar Zman, so now it kind of works out. Meaning, now we go back to the case of the Nazir. You became Tameh on the night of the 8th, and Rav Yochanan says, now you're going to be on the books two times over to bring two sets of Karbanos for you becoming Tameh during a Nazirus. Yeah, because you became Tameh night of, and night is considered a time of eligibility. So that means to say now that you're going to be on the books two times over. Okay, good. And as far as the patur of the Chagiga, that also works. Because the patur, you were patur on day number one. And now you were patur on day number one. So once you're patur on day number one, so now you go back 2, 3, through 7, through 8 on Sukkos. But it all goes back to day number one. You were patur on day number one. And therefore, you don't have to bring a carbon. It works out. But that assumes, though, that Rav Yochanan holds that Laila's lav mechusar zman.
In the machloket of before Erev Shemesh, Rav Yochanan, one korban or two?
No, before Erev Shemesh, so you're still within your first tumah.
So
yeah, then you'd only be one korban. But once you experience Erev Shemesh, so now even it's nighttime, I know you can't bring a korban, but Rav Yochanan will consider it to be that you're eligible to bring a korban at that point in time. And therefore, if you become tumah night of the 8th, so you're going to have to now bring a second set of korbanos. Okay, now, Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi. Now, this idea that Rav Yochanan subscribes to Laila not being Mechusar Zman, so the Gemara says, but wait one second, V'hamar Rav Yochanan. Now, doesn't Rav Yochanan say the following? Okay, and this is going to be the last challenging part of this morning, okay, in terms of just getting everything clear. Okay, we're talking about a man having a Zav discharge. So, if a man has a Zav discharge for one time over, he's what's called a minor Zav. If he has a second and a third discharge, so he's going to become a major Zav. What's the difference between a second discharge and a third discharge? And the answer is carbon. Huh, very good. So the answer is going to be carbon. When that, if once he has a third discharge, he's going to have to bring a series of carbonos, but not so quickly. First, he has to count Shiva Nikiyam, and then after having count Shiva Nikiyam, on day number 8, he's going to have to bring a series of carbons. Here, it's going to be two carbonos, Shnei Torim or Shnei B'nei Yonah. Okay. When it comes to a man, I'll just give out one more halacha. When it comes to a man, unlike a woman has to have three discharges on three consecutive days. For a man, it could be three discharges even within one day. Okay, fine. That happens to be an important detail over here. I'm going through this really rather quickly, and apologize if I'm getting a little confusing, but it gets a little bit more confusing. So everyone, just hang on. Once you're on the books now to bring carbono, so yeah, as I pointed out, you have to go through Shiva Nikim, you have to go through seven clean days. If let's say you have a discharge during the seven clean days, so now what? So now what you're going to do is that you're going to have to count Shiva Nikim again. But at the end of your Shiva Nikim, it's just all one continuation, meaning you never really registered an obligation to bring for the first one because you haven't successfully concluded your seven clean days. Now, at this point in time, hopefully you're going to see where we're headed over here. Let's say you did successfully conclude your seven clean days. On day number 7, you toveled in the mikvah, you experienced Tarif Shemesh, and now you get to day number 8. And then on day number 8, now you have a new series of discharges. So now, how many series of carbonos? And you didn't bring your carbonos on day number 8. So the next time you're in the base of mikdash, bring your carbonos. How many sets of carbonos do you need to bring? 2 sets of carbonos. Right. Now, what if you had a series of discharges on the night of the 8th? Meaning, right, after the 7th day is over, the eve of the 8th. What if you have your series of discharges at that point in time? Well, it kind of depends on how you hold about Laila. Whether Laila is Mechusar Zman or Laila is not Mechusar Zman. If Laila is not considered Mechusar Zman, those discharges you have the night of would be no different than having those discharges the next day as well. Which means then that you're going to have to bring 2 sets of carbonos. If, on the other hand, you hold that Laila is in fact Mechusar Zman, so that means to say the night is going to be markedly different than that of during the day. You have those discharges at night. That's not considered a new series of discharges. It just is a Hamshacha, a continuation of the previous ones. Okay, it gets just a little bit more confusing. I know this part of the daf is hard. So the now Umi Amar Rav Yochanan Hachi V'Amar Rav Yochanan Ra Achas B'Laila V'Shtayim B'Yom Mevi. So Rav Yochanan says that if you see one discharge at night, we're talking about the 8th day, the night of the 8th day, and the 8th day itself. So if you had one discharge at night, and then Shtayim B'Yom, and then 2 during the day, Mevi, then Shtayim B'Laila V'Achas B'Yom Eino Mevi. But if you see 2 at night and 1 during the day, then you don't bring. Okay. Now, Isalka Datcha. In a moment, I'm going to try to explain the difference between 2 at night versus 1 during the day, and 1 at night and 2 during the day. I'll try to explain the difference. But right now, I'm going to move right past that point, just to get to the Gemara's main point. V'Isalka Datcha Kasav Rav Yochanan Laila Ina Mechusar Zman Afilu Shtayim B'Laila V'Achas B'Yom Mevi. I don't understand. If Rav Yochanan, in fact, holds that Laila is Lav Mechusar Zman, so that means the night of is no different than the day of. Now, we know that once you get to the next day, any discharges you have in the next day is counted as a new series of becoming a Zav. And the carbonos that you're going to have to bring now, a week from now, are going to be 2 sets of carbonos. One for the first series and the second for the second series. Because once you get to the 8th day, it's considered now a new set of discharges. So now, if you hold Laila as Lav Mechusar Zman, so then there's no difference between the night of the 8th and the 8th day. And so even if I had discharges the night of, the halacha should be the same. Now, Ki Kama Rav Yochanan Ladivra Omer Laila Mechusar Zman. So the Gemara says over here as follows. When Rav Yochanan said over this halacha, he was not talking about his own personal shita. He was saying for those who hold that Laila is Mechusar Zman, even though he himself doesn't hold that way. So the Gemara says, the Divrei Omer Pshita. The Gemara says, well, I don't understand. In other words, if he is addressing those people who hold that nighttime is in fact mechusar zman, so then isn't it obvious? Meaning, if you hold Laila is mechusar zman, that means to say that the night of the eighth is markedly different than the day itself. And if in fact you subscribe to that viewpoint, so then having discharges on the night of are not going to be considered like you had it during the eighth day, and then it's a hamshacha, it's just a continuation of the previous discharges. So the Gemara says, "Shtam b'yom ba'achas b'alayla itzrich leisakadat chaimina k'dat tachta derav shisha b'reid derav idi kamashmalan k'derav Yosef." So the Gemara says, "No, there still is a chiddush, even though Rav Yochanan is not addressing his own opinion, even though he's addressing the opinion of Laila is in fact mechusar zman, but he's still saying it because it's not so obvious in the following scenario." And now we get to, I'm going to try to explain the difference between one at night and two during the day. You see, if you hold that Laila is mechusar zman, so the night and the day are two separate entities. Okay? Now, if that's true, so in order to become a Zav Gadol, what do you need to have? You need to have three discharges. Now, if the night and the day are two separate entities, and you had one discharge at night and two during the day, so you and I would have argued, or I'll speak for myself, I would have argued that doesn't make three. Because one is at night and two is during the day. And if, in fact, I hold that Laila is, in fact, mechusar zman, so then the night and the day are segregated. They're two separate entities. Okay. So, over here, this is a subtle point and a little bit complex. And that is that when a man has his first Zav discharge, so even though it's a Zav discharge, we've gone over this point numerous times, the Zav discharge is not the same thing as a Balkeri. I'm speaking anatomically, biologically. Right? The Balkeri, the Gemara actually gives very, very detailed and graphic descriptions in terms of what exactly is the difference between a Zav discharge and a Balkeri discharge. But from a halachic standpoint, the first Zav discharge, even though it is a Ziva discharge, nevertheless, halachically, it's viewed as no different than being a Balkeri discharge. Now, that has a lot of applications in terms of Tumat Tahara. We don't have to go through them right now. But in just in other words, that first Zav discharge, so it on one hand is a Zav discharge, but halachically is viewed as the same thing as being a Balkeri discharge. And that means to say that as long as you had only one at night, so that isn't necessarily a continuation of the previous. Previously, you were a Zav Gadol, and you just concluded, and you went through 7 days, and you tovled the mikvah on day number seven, and you had a Harav Shemesh. Now, by having only one Ziva discharge on the following night, that's not going to necessarily be continuation of the previous days. Because halachically, that Ziva discharge is really viewed as a Balkeri discharge. If you had two at night, well, that second one now, halachically, is viewed as Ziva. And because the night is different than the next day, that will now be viewed as a continuation of the previous days. I went through that really quickly. I don't want to belabor the point. It's a really complex point. It's really, the Gemara here points out, it's really a discussion that we're going to discuss in much greater detail in Krisos. Anyway, let me just deal with it from our Gemara standpoint. Our Gemara basically, in defense of Rav Yochanan, says as follows. When you miss the first day of Yantiv, and you miss the Chagig on the first day of Yantiv, and you were legitimately exempt, so you don't have to make it up. Why? Because all makeup days really take you back to day number one. And if you're exempt on day number one, so then you're not going to have to bring for the following days. Okay. Then, the Gemara challenges because we know that Rav Yochanan by the Nazir, and in the case of Zav, so Rav Yochanan seems to be subscribing to the view that if you are, even though you're not eligible to bring the karbanos the night of, nevertheless, you're going to be regarded and recorded as this being a new entity, new experience in which you're going to have to bring karbanos, a set of karbanos for the night of. So we had tried to attack the problem from a number of angles, two different angles, but the one that the Gemara seems to be most satisfied with is that if we're talking about the night of, the night of is lav mechusar zman. It is considered a state of eligibility, even though you can't bring karbanos, but nevertheless, it's viewed as if you could bring karbanos on the night of. Okay, let's just leave it like that. And therefore, the Gemara tried to point to inconsistencies within Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara resolved. Okay, and let's continue. Aver erga v'locha genu chai b'chriyus v'al zen emar mubas lo yichol litkom v'chisorn lo yichol lihimanos. Amale Bar Hehe Lehilo. That's a funny name, Bar Hehe. So Rashi says, why did he call himself Bar Hehe? Because he's a ger. And what gerim love to do, Okay, not that I know a lot of them, and quite frankly, the ones I do know don't do this, but the what Gerim liked to do back in the good old days is they liked the letter Hey. Okay, and for good reason. Meaning, think about the first Ger, Avram. So what happened is that he got a Hey in his name. And Sarah, also the first Ger, what did she do? She put a Hey in her name. Now when I say she did, as per instruction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, but so what Gerim did, Hey was a Ger, and so he gave himself not one, but two Hays. I don't know the significance of the second Hey.
Actually, I heard it's because both Avram and Yitzhak, each got a Hey because they're both converts.
So he took both Hays. I was thinking that, but okay. Okay, and then also Tosfos points out the same thing with Ben Bagbag, right? Bagbag is Beis Gimel. Beis Gimel, take two and three and put them together. That's right. You get five. So okay, good. So that's what Tosfos says. So anyway, Amalei Bar Hey Lehilo. So Hi Lihimanos Lihimalos Mi Baile. That pasuk in Koheles. So that should say Chisaron, something which is missing. Which lo yuchal? Now, if something is missing, so then what can't I do? I can't fill it in. What does it mean? I can't count. It sounds there's no agreement between the word chisaron and himanos. That's funny, and that's Bar Hey's question. So amalei Bar Hey lehilo highly himanos lehimalos mi baile. Would sound better. Would be better agreement than the pasuk in Kohalas had it said lehimalos. So elazeh. Let's say a group of people got together for a good purpose, a mitzvah, and they invited you, and you declined the invitation to participate in a group mitzvah. That's what the Pasuk and Kohelis is describing. So you weren't counted as a member of a mitzvah group. We have a brisa supporting this as well. Move us lo yichol l'tkon. Zeh shebitol kriya shma shel shachris or kriya shma shel arvis. Oh, she'll be tefillah shacharis or tefillah arvis. So you missed the opportunity to daven Shema in the morning, Shema at night. V'chisaron lo'ichol lehimanos v'shenim nechaver v'dvar mitzvah hulo nimna imahem. And as far as the lo'ichol lehimanos, what we just said, the Bryce over here substantiates this pshat of Hillel, which is that you had a group of people getting together to do a mitzvah. They invited you. You declined the invitation. Amle barhei le'ilah ma'idichsi v'shaftim v'yisem bein tzedek l'rasha. Bein oved Elohim, lasher lo avdu. So hainu tzadik, hainu oved Elohim, and hainu rasha, hainu asher lo avdu. So I don't understand. Isn't the pasuk basically describing the same thing again and again? Right? So the amalei avdu v'lo avdu tarvay tzadiki gemir ninu. Now, you misunderstood. So when it says someone who serves and someone who does not serve, no, both of them are talking about tzadikim. Ve'enu dom eshon epirko mea pamim eshon epirko mea ve'echad. And you just simply can't compare somebody who's learning something and reviewing it 100 times versus someone who's reviewing it 101 times. Oof. Okay, now you heard this Gemara before, but here we are. Chagiga Daf Tes, today's Daf. So the importance and significance of reviewing something, not just 100 times, but 101. Amrlei Mishim Chaz Dimna Karilei Lo Avdu? Really? You went over 100 times, and now because you didn't go over one more time, you're considered somebody who's an Eino Ovid, you're not serving God? So I'm really in. He's like, yeah. So it's say olamad mishok shochamar masar parsa bezuze charasa parsa betray zuze. If I may give a modern application of the Gemara's example over here, your rental, your car rental. Okay, so if you return it within 24 hours, you're good. Now you return it after 24 hours, they're going to charge you another day. Yeah, but I just used it for another hour. Okay, that's unfortunate. Okay, we're going to charge you another day. So over here, so yeah. So in other words, once you turn that dial from 100 to 101, so that's going to be, we're saying it now in the positive. So in other words, now the schar you're going to be receiving is substantially more, as if you did it 100 times. Rabbi Friend, I'll just tell the story quickly. I know I'm running out of time. Rabbi Friend told the story at the Siyum HaShas 2 cycles ago. I forget. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter. Oh, you're right. You remember. It's such a good story. So so Rav Moshe made a Siyum. Rav Moshe Feinstein made a Siyum, and he gathered together a small group of his students in his room, and he. And just to make a sim, so one of the students had the let's call it chutzpah to ask him, "Nu, how many times have you gone through?" He made a sim on Shas. So he says, "How many times have you gone through it?" So what was his answer? 4? Oh, whatever. So he said 4. So maybe it was 2. Anyway, whatever. It was a very low number. So the student couldn't believe it. In other words, Rav Moshe Feinstein was learning Yom Valayla. In the biography, they write about Rav Moshe Feinstein that every Shabbos he would cover Masechta Shabbos from beginning to end. Okay, good. Okay, when you're a gadol, that's what you do. So he said, let's say two. I think the number is two. So he said, I went through the Shas two times, and the student knew that that was not true. He knew it was not true. So the student pushed, and he said, Rabbi, it can't be. It just simply can't be. I see you. In other words, there's no way this is your second time that you finish Shas. So Rav Moshe smiled, and Rav Moshe said, the Gemara in Chagiga and Daf Tes. He says, Eino Domi, you can't compare somebody who learned 100 times versus 101 times. So I went through the Shas 101 times. Twice. Okay. Okay, good. Rabbi Friend told that story at the Siyam HaShas. It's such a good story. Okay. Amale Eliyahu Labar Hehe. We continue in the Gemara. So Eliyahu says to Bar Hehe. Amale the Rabbi Elazar. My dichsiv. He needs our fasich below bechesev. Bechartich bechor oni. Malam shechazar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kol midos tovosli ten li Yisrael v'lo masa ela anios. So in terms of the best gift that Kadosh Baruch Hu can give us is poverty. Okay. I know. After such a heartwarming story and heartwarming Gemara. So then the Gemara over here, it's a little bit harsh, but it's real. And that is that poverty is something that Akash Baruch Hu gives us as a bracha. So Amr Shmuel v'yitim Rav Yosef ha'ina darmi inshe. So the old expression. And whenever the Gemara cites an old expression, it's for them it was popular, for us, not so popular. But anyway, yana yusa liyudai ki barza sumka lesuse chivrei. Poverty for Jewish people is wonderful. It's just as good as a red strap for a white donkey or a white horse. Okay, I don't get the analogy, but that's because I don't own a white horse, so the analogy is going to go over my head. The point is it's good for the Jews. It's good for the Jews to be in a state of poverty. When you're in a state of poverty, so we won't have Ayin Hara, we won't have all the challenges living in excess is extraordinarily challenging. I have a good generation to show everybody in terms of what the challenges are of living with excess. Okay, but I don't want to belabor the point because we have a daf to learn, and I would like to finish it. Rabbi Shimon ben Manasseh Omer, Eizu hu muvas lo yicholit kon zeh abal erva v'holi mimenu mamzer v'chulei holid in la holid lo. So the Gemara says now, as far as the example given in the Mishnah, where a man has an adulterous relationship and he produces a mamzer, and that's something which is that's uncorrectable. Okay, the Gemara's question is really simple. That's uncorrectable. Meaning, before even impregnating her and having her have a child, that's uncorrectable. Just having the adulterous relationship is uncorrectable. Why? Because once she commits adultery, she's now forever forbidden to her husband. So why do we have to get to the point where she's pregnant now and she has a child and it's a mamzer, and now it's uncorrectable? Even before that, it was uncorrectable. That's basically the Gemara's question. So Tanya, we learned in the Brisa, Rabbi Shimon Manasseh, Omer, Gonev, Adam, Efshar, Shiachzir genevel v'yitakein. Goes al Adam Efshar shiachzir gazlo v'yitakein. You steal or you rob somebody in broad daylight, so then you can return the item. Avahabal eishes ish v'asra leba'ala nitra mina olam. But you commit adultery, so now that's it. You're tord mina olam. You're lost from the world. Avahalachlo. And Reb Shimon Mayocha Armein ein omer bikro gamal bikro chazir ela bikro teleh. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, look, a camel. No one says about a camel, hey, let's do an investigation and see if it's eligible for a carbon. It's a camel. Camels cannot be brought as a carbon. You only say it regarding a tler, only regarding a sheep. Meaning to say, again, this is a point that we made our Mishnah. Over here, it's just made a little bit differently. But when something is me'uvas, it's bent, it means at one point it was straight, and then it became bent. Ve'ezezez, a tamachachem, shepirish min a Torah. Tamachachem, who leaves Torah. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish Amar, kol tamachachem, shepirish min a Torah. It's like you're wandering, you're lost. Right? They distance themselves from me. Anyway, but what comes out over here is as follows. In this brisa that we just concluded, comes out now that you commit adultery, that in of itself already is mu'uvas. That's uncorrectable. She now is forever forbidden to her husband. So why do we have to get to the point where she becomes pregnant, she has a mamzer? Which, of course, in itself is bad and uncorrectable, but already an uncorrectable mistake was made just at the act of adultery. So the Gemara says, you're right. But in other words, if she's a married woman, you're absolutely correct. In other words, that's the price that we just learned. But let's say she's not a married woman, but let's just simply say she's your sister. So there, the uncorrectable mistake will be achieved when she gets pregnant and she has a child, and that child now is a mamzer, meaning because she's a penuya. So in other words, the act of bia in of itself, she doesn't become usher to her husband. She doesn't have a husband. Okay. Or another way to split the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa is whether or not she's an active participant or she is violated. So if she's violated, she does not become usher to her husband. But if she's violated and she has a child, so then the mamzer that's produced now is uncorrectable. On the other hand, if she's a willing participant, that's the Braisa, which now means that she will become prohibited to her husband. Or another way to say it is that she's an ones, but there's a difference between being an ones bas Yisrael versus an ones bas Kohen. This is a really unfortunate halacha, but it is the halacha, which is that a bas Kohen who's violated, so she becomes usher to her husband, despite the fact that she was violated. And so therefore, by her, it will be an uncorrectable error, just the act of bia. And finally, Uli Yotze Ulavo in Shalom, Pasuk in Zechariah, as Rashi points out over here, somewhat related to our topic, not totally, but anyway. So Uli Yotze Ulavo in Shalom, Amarav Kemish Yotze Adam Midvar Halacha Dvar Mikra, Shuvain Lo Shalom. A couple of really interesting comments, which I get to just simply state them and run. Number one, let's say you're in the world of Gemara, and you leave the world of Gemara to go back to Chumash, so Ein Lo Shalom, that person's not going to have peace. And the simple pshat is that the Gemara is mentally challenging. It requires a certain amount of penetrating analysis, and you leave that and you go back to Chumash, and it doesn't require that kind of analysis, and Ein Lo Shalom, you're not going to be at peace. Ushmul Amar is the Aparish Mitamud LeMishnah. Let's say you're learning Talmud, and then you just simply go back to Mishnayos. So once again, you're going from a challenging mental exercise to something which is not as challenging, so Ein Lo Shalom. And Rav Yochanan Amar Filo Mishas L'Shas, definitely one of the more interesting comments in today's daf, and that is that you leave one shas and you go to learn another shas, and the way Rashi presents it, you leave the shas Yerushalmi to go learn your shas Bavli, so you're not going to be at peace. Okay, now it makes sense in that, if Rav Yochanan is saying it, Rav Yochanan obviously representing the yeshivas of Eretz Yisrael, so in other words, what he's basically saying is that our shas is much better, much more streamlined, much clearer than that of Shas Bavli. I know we make it, when I say we, I don't just simply mean we, the learners of the Daf Yomi, but we, meaning the Jewish people now, basically for the last 1,700 years, we've elected to learn Talmud Bavli. But the Gemara in Sanhedrin Rashi here cites it. Tosu cites it. Both cite it. So they cite the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that the Talmud Bavli is, it's deep, and it's complicated, and it's, you know, and it's, I could say, it's a little bit confusing. So, right, see somewhere around the 30-minute mark of today's daf. So it's slightly confusing. So it's more challenging. And Rav Yochanan says that if you leave the Shas Yerushalmi to go learn Shas Bavli, Ein Lo Shalom, you're not going to be at peace. Okay, I know, that's a mouthful. Okay, but anyway, well, let's stop over here. Let's just quickly recap our daf today. Okay, we started with the Mishnah on Testament Aleph. The Mishnah says that there is a mitzvah of Chagiga on day one, and if you don't bring it on day one, you can make it up. On Sukkot, you can make it up all 8 days of Sukkot. On Pesach, all 7 days. And on Shavuos, even though there's no more Yontif and there's no Chol HaMoed, but still you can make it up 7 days as well. How do I know that I can make it up all 8 days of Sukkot? The Gemara gave us not one, but two sources on the Amud Aleph. How does Tashlumim work? Is it that if you miss day one, your obligation moves ahead a day? Or is it no that every single day, every subsequent day is a makeup for day number one? Machlokis Amarim b'shun Rav Yochanan and Rav Oshia. The Gemara from Testament Aleph to Testament Beis goes over what seems to be inconsistencies in Rav Yochanan, and the Gemara answers up for those inconsistencies. On the Amud Beis, we dealt with that pasuk in Koheles. So the pasuk reads, "Muvas lo yichol litkom v'chisarn lo yuchal lehimanos." And really, the better word in Koheles should have been, seemingly, lehimalos. And so, a number of comments in terms of what does it mean, lehimanos? So, Hillel says a pshat, the Braisa says the same pshat, and finally, a couple of drushas to conclude our day. A drusha malachi regarding someone who's an eno oved, it's talking about a tzaddik, how is he an eno oved? He's not going over it 101 times. And then finally, on Testament Beis, the question of what is an uncorrectable mistake? The Mishnah says when you produce a mamzer. If you're committing adultery, the uncorrectable mistake has already been done through the act of adultery. So why is the Mishnah talking about the production of a mamzer, the Gemara gives numerous answers to this question that brought us all the way to the end of today's daf.